You better buckle up, Buttercup.
Bringing a whole new attitude to your afternoons.
You're either on this train or you're not. It's moving. You can get out the way or you can join us.
You know, two dudes talking sports.
I love the way they're talking to you. Because they're winners. Winners get to do what they want.
Live from News Talk 1480 WHBC.
It's Kenny and JT.
It's showtime.
Have a great show.
Let's go.
Happy Friday. Does this week seem like the longest week ever?
No, it doesn't
to you?
It does
to me. Maybe because of Monday's snow. It just affected me the entire week.
I don't care how fast the days go by. It's too damn cold. I don't care.
It is cold, man. I went outside just to take the trash out today because Friday's trash day, right? Mm. Dude, I was out there for 10 seconds and my fingers started tingling and everything. That's how cold it was.
Wear gloves. I got a bigger problem. When I come to work down here, 550 Market Avenue South, and I get down by the radio station, no matter where I want to park, I can't get into the radio station because there's just too big of snowdrifts everywhere. And where they plowed, there's no entranceway. I need to dig out. How do I do this?
You tell Rich to get the snowplow out.
What's Rich
going to
do?
Rich, he's not doing anything else right now except getting free meals at, where was it, the House of Pancakes with Dale, as I saw on social media last night.
There's no way a snowplow gets through this. You need somebody with something bigger. You can't use a snowblower. You can't use a shovel. I think you need, like, an axe. You got to chisel this stuff out.
I thought Rich might have, like, a snowplow to put on the front of his truck, and he could do it.
You know what he needs?
What's he need?
A flamethrower. He needs to melt this crap.
A flamethrower? That would be a unique way to remove snow and ice, right?
A snowblower when it's frozen solid, man. We need Rich out here with a flamethrower. Can't they build something?
I'm sure Rich could come up.
These guys do every day. Hold on a second.
Go ahead.
They changed the light bulb in the men's room. Now you go in there and you get sunburned. Remember last week I told you it was so dark in there you couldn't see anything?
Yeah.
Didn't know if you were going in the toilet or on your shoes. Now... You go in there right now. If you go in there without sunglasses, you know how they tell you whenever there's an eclipse, don't look into it?
Yeah.
That's our men's room.
That's.
Don't look at the light.
Don't stare into the light. You're going to burn your retinas. Dale and Rich were out somewhere. Did you see this on social media?
They were at a Waffle House and somebody picked up their tab. It's one of those pay it forward things. How come that never happens at you or I?
Exactly. You know, we're out there and they charge us extra for something we didn't eat, right? And Dale and Rich go out and some guy paid for the entire restaurant, the entire tab.
Or do you believe them?
Yes, I do. I don't know. What's Dale have to lie about? How's that going to benefit Dale to make up a story like that?
He went out to dinner without his wife. That's why. It's a lie. It's a total lie. I didn't spend that money. Somebody picked up my tab. I've been through that, Kenny. I know that old routine. That's an old one.
I've never used that trick. No, I thought it was just a great story, man. But again, like you said, it never happens to me. Not that I'm looking for somebody to give me a handout like that, but I just am never, like, I never even went on scratch. I'm not lucky at all when it comes to luck or things of that nature. Are you?
Yeah, I used to be, but, you know, again, you can't win if you don't play. So that guy that goes through the drive-thru at a Burger King and, oh, sorry, sir, but the person in front of you just picked up your order. Okay, great. That doesn't happen to me because I don't go there enough. I don't win scratch-offs because I don't purchase scratch-offs.
See, I do on occasion, right? I'm not an everyday scratch-off guy. I'm not an everyday Mega Millions or Powerball just when it's like 500 million. And I never even – I think the most I've ever won in a scratch-off or Mega Millions, if you match the Powerball or whatever the hell it is like 10 bucks. That's the most I've ever won at anything.
You don't play enough. You remember the time we were doing the Browns draft, and we'll get into some more about the Browns draft later on. We're doing the Browns draft a couple of years ago. No names, but the guy that's sitting there wins $1 million in the Ohio lottery. Remember?
Yeah.
Do you remember what happened 20 minutes before they hit the jackpot?
No, I don't.
The dude hit for $250 playing Keno at the bar. I said, good, quit.
Oh, you told him to stop.
Had he quit and taken the money, $250, I'm sure you'd be happy with, he would not have won $1 million.
Yeah. See, if you're a gambler, that attitude is the next pick I make, the next ticket I scratch off, the next Keno game I play, I'm going to win, right? Isn't that the attitude?
The key to it is this. You never get too high when you win. You never get too low when you lose. And you got to keep going after it. And what are they going after? They're going after the gold ring. He doesn't want to win $250. He's playing to win $1 million. Lo and behold, the odds are outrageously out of his favor, but he did it. So now they're hooked again. But the point here is the fact that they don't just quit because they hit once in a while. They don't just play once in a while and get upset when they lose. They play until they win. Now, not everybody that plays as much as they can is eventually going to win that grand prize, but they did somehow.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. And I don't know how I would react. Have you ever given it a thought, like how you would react if you won that amount of money?
No.
I haven't even been able to, like, because I've never come close to even think, like, what would my reaction be? What would be the first thing I would purchase or do with any type of money of that nature?
I had a big hit in Vegas about 15 years ago. And the thing that I wanted to make sure I did was not blow it. And it wasn't that big. I mean, it was in the thousands, and I won't mention exactly how many thousands, but it was good. It was a lot to come home with. And it was one of those stories where somebody says, how'd you do? Usually you hear, oh, I broke even, which means you lost.
Right.
I came back with a lot of money, and the problem was, how do I bring this money on the plane with me? And when I get it home, how do I make sure I don't just blow it on crap that I don't need? So the thing is, you need to invest it. You need to do something well with it. Maybe do something for your home, buy some furniture, something that you'll have from years to come, because if not, you're just going to blow it.
So how did you bring it on the plane?
Everywhere you can imagine. Every pocket, every carry-on. There was something in everything.
Really?
If there would have been police, they would have thought I was a smuggler.
Right, you robbed a bank or something, right?
Yeah. All couldn't you just hundreds?
Couldn't you get it in just big bills?
They were all hundreds.
That's the biggest you could. That's the biggest they offer.
When you win like that, they come over to you. First thing you have to do is you need to sign that 1099 or whatever tax form it is.
Okay, and all right.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, meaning 1,000.
1,000.
They pay
okay.
you, and they just put it right there because. Obviously, we've told you time and time again, Vegas is not built on winners, but when you do win, they want to put you on display so the next guy thinks he can win. Oh, that dude just won that much? Let me play that machine. That machine ain't hitting again this year.
I see what you're saying. Okay, so let me. If you don't want to answer, you don't have to. Was it a slot machine or was it a board game?
It was multiple machines on the same night.
Really?
It was unbelievable. It was like they picked me out of the sky. You know they have the eye in the sky?
Right, right.
That man right there, let him win more than once. And I was losing my mind. I had the Midas touch for an entire weekend. And it was a Super Bowl weekend. Ask me who played.
Who played in the Super Bowl?
Doesn't matter. But honestly, I think it was John Gruden.
Oh, when Tampa.
When Tampa Bay beat the Raiders.
Oh, he beat his old team. Remember who his quarterback was at Tampa Bay?
Tampa Bay, was it Rich Gannon was the Raiders?
Right. Who they owned that game.
Was Tampa Bay's quarterback?
Long neck. Dude had one of the longest necks next to Steve Grogan in NFL history.
The only person I'm thinking of is Vinny Testaverde, and I know that's wrong. Who was it?
Brad Johnson. Vikings,
right?
Well, he was with the Vikings, but then, you know, played at Tampa and won the Super Bowl. Two of the most unheralded quarterbacks to ever win a Super Bowl were Trent Dilfer, who was with the Buccaneers and then ended up in Baltimore to win it because of their defense, and then Brad Johnson. And some people think that John Gruden knew the Raiders so well and how to prepare for them and Rich Gannon's strengths and weaknesses. Yeah. That's why they were able to dominate that game with their defense, and Brad Johnson just didn't have to screw it up. You know what I mean?
What about Mark Rypien with the Redskins?
Rypien.
That was, you know what? That was a team, Brian, that was in Super Bowl contention for how many years in a row under Joe Gibbs? So I wouldn't say that's as unheralded as a one-time winner in Tampa Bay, a perennial loser in NFL football history.
Is that the direction we're going to take? Quarterbacks that were not maybe franchise quarterbacks that won Super Bowls, and then you've got to put Doug Williams into the conversation.
Jim Plunkett.
But again, Doug Williams, it was a team that was considered a Super Bowl contender, though, right? I didn't think of Tampa Bay – you know, as a Super Bowl contender. Although who was Dungy was there, right? And then he left for Indianapolis, and Gruden took his players, like Mike Tomlin took Bill Cowher's players, and won a Super Bowl.
Weren't the Browns considered a Super Bowl contender?
When?
This season?
Yes, by a lot of people.
Maybe you don't need a franchise quarterback to get there. Or maybe you do when you end up 7-9.
I think it's more an anomaly than the norm, right? When a Mark Rypien, if you want to put him in that category, as Brian said, Brad Johnson, Trent Dilfer, those aren't the norm. The norm is Tom Brady, franchise Hall of Fame quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger, franchise Hall of Fame quarterback. Peyton Manning, franchise Hall of Fame quarterback. Eli Manning.
No. The only franchise quarterback to win a Super Bowl is Joe Montana. He's the only quarterback that didn't have to rely on a last-second field goal to win a Super Bowl. Joe Montana.
Roethlisberger made one of the greatest throws in history in Super Bowl. Which one was that? 43, I think, over Arizona. He threw into triple coverage in the corner of the end zone to Santonio Holmes, who toe-tapped for the game winner with under a minute to go, I think it was.
They won that game on their defense.
No, they won the Seattle game on their defense. Like, if you look at Roethlisberger's stats in the Seattle win, he was awful.
Well, that's my point.
He was terrible.
That's my point with Joe Montana. His numbers were always great, weren't they?
That's fair. Yeah, you're right. He was ridiculous in his accuracy and the amount of yards he threw for in the Super Bowl.
Montana. Hey, there's Tom Candy or John Candy. Let's go win this thing. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. You talk about having control of your team, the huddle, and having guys follow your lead and being Joe Cool. And that was one of his nicknames, Joe Cool, right? Because of that, you know, John Candy story when they drove, what was it? You were at that game, weren't you?
Yes. Is that 23?
I think it is. That's
Joe Robbie Stadium.
And that was like a 92-yard drive against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
Right down the field. And the irony in all of that was that Sam Weish, the coach of the Bengals, was Montana's quarterback coach, I think, earlier in his career at San Francisco with Bill Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's when, and I always go back to this, that's why I give Doug Peterson so much credit for the Eagles Super Bowl win, because Doug Peterson knew in order to beat Brady and Belichick, field goals weren't going to cut it, right? And that's why they rolled the dice and they had some special plays drawn up, the Philly special and everything like that. And they went for broke knowing that if they tried to play a close game, they were going to lose.
You know what else you need? You need a team like that Eagles team that was on a roll going through the playoffs. Yeah. And I think the team on a roll right now might be the Buffalo Bills.
Dude, they're playing very well right now, aren't they?
Defense.
I mean, think about it. The last time the Steelers won when who was it? Or maybe it wasn't the last time the bus retired. Remember the bus retired and they won in Detroit, his hometown and everything, right? The Steelers were the sixth seed, and they had to win playoff games on the road all the way to the Super Bowl. And while Buffalo had a home game last week, Buffalo is playing at Kansas City this week, and should Tennessee beat Cincinnati and Buffalo wins, they would have to play at Tennessee again.
Right.
So potentially their next two games, if they play in two games to get to the Super Bowl, are going to be on the road. But to your point, when you're on a roll like that, you don't care where you're playing, right? You just feel so confident about your abilities and the way your team is playing. We'll play anybody, anywhere, anytime, anyhow, any weather, whatever it is.
Could that team in the AFC be the Bengals? Tomorrow, AFC divisional game, 4:30 kickoff. Titans host the Bengals. Titans giving up 3.5 points right now. I don't know. Derrick Henry?
Yeah.
Coming back, he's going to start. He says he feels fine. He can run as many times as they want to let him run, but I think he's still going to be pretty much on a pitch count. I don't know yet. I might know a little bit closer to 7 o'clock tonight, give you an answer. I don't know. Packers host the 49ers at 8:15, the NFC divisional game. In that game, I will tell you this. I don't care how banged up Jimmy Garoppolo is, I like the Packers in this game.
So do I. I agree with you there. I like the Packers. I like Aaron Rodgers, and we've got an Aaron Rodgers story coming up in screenshots a little later on, taking a shot at Tom Brady, so stay tuned for that. But I think Aaron Rodgers right now, throughout the entire season, with the exception of week one, has played the most impressive football. as anybody, with Tom Brady being a close second. I'm seeing a Brady Rodgers NFC title game for the right to go to the Super Bowl, and that would be at Green Bay.
Right.
And so you're talking about two of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game going head-to-head at age 38 and 44.
Which brings you to the other NFC divisional game, the Buccaneers hosting the Rams Sunday at 3 o'clock. Now, if you think Tampa Bay's a shoo-in to win that game, I'm not so sure. I look at the Rams team. They're able to run the ball right now. Their defense is lights out. I think they could give Tampa Bay a run for their money. If you're going to give me the points, I'll take the Rams in that game. But if it's straight up, boy, that's still kind of a flip of a coin to me.
I think you nailed it. Take the points if you want to wager that way. If you're going money line, I can't bet against Brady till somebody beats him. Right? I just can't. He's that good. He will figure out a way, whether it's a short passing game, a screen game, a running game. He'll figure out a way to neutralize that pass rush.
Want to know why? He doesn't have to neutralize that pass rush. The wild card in that game, oddly enough, the wild card weekend was last weekend. The wild card in that game is Matthew Stafford. If he shows up as the old Matthew Stafford of the Detroit Lions, they can't win. But if he plays like he did last week against the Arizona Cardinals, it could be fair game, dude.
I'm trying to see. They didn't play this season already, did they?
Yes,
the Rams.
They did. The Rams beat them
34-24, and that was at L.A.
Right.
Okay. I didn't know for sure. That's why I wanted to look it up. Let's see what Stafford did. Stafford in that game against the Buccaneers defense, right? Threw for 343 and four touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Brady threw for 432, but only one touchdown in that game. So. And that's the other thing I think that will help Brady more than it'll help Stafford.
You don't
know that. He played against him already.
You got to go back into those numbers and see who he was throwing to. No Antonio Brown, no Godwin in this game for the Buccaneers. So you've got to see who was making those catches for the Buccaneers. Because if it comes down to that, the Rams are at full strength. And I don't know if Odell Beckham Jr. played in that first matchup.
He did not. DeSean Jackson did, though, and was a big factor in that game. He's no longer there. Cooper Kupp had 9 for 96 and two touchdowns. Mike Evans was the lead receiver for the Bucs in that game. Godwin, 6 for 74, not, you know, big numbers. Gronk, 4 for 55. Mm. So, you know, nobody that... and Antonio Brown didn't play in that game for whatever reason. So he was already out.
He's not playing in tomorrow's game either.
But Brady had to throw it 55 times, and they only ran for 35. So, don't get me wrong. I'm rooting against Brady. I want him to lose just because of my hatred for Belichick, the Patriots, Brady, and what they did to my Steelers over the years. So I'm rooting for the Rams to win that game. But if I'm betting with my head and not my heart, then I'm picking straight up, I'm picking Tampa Bay till they get beat.
Think about that head, though, for a second, because we don't know if Leonard Fournette's going to play. And if they don't have two of their top receivers and they don't have their number one running back, I think you got to go with the Rams here.
And they do get Akers, who played last week, back in the running game, right, which is huge for them. Cooper Kupp, one of the best receivers in the National Football League, maybe offensive player of the year if you're looking outside of the quarterback position. So it's at Tampa Bay, though, and for whatever reason that matters to some of these teams. And then the last one is Buffalo at Kansas City. Do you like Buffalo going on the road?
I love Buffalo right here. I would take Buffalo on the money line. If I was really going to make a wager and I'm looking for a good value bet, I would take a shot at Buffalo on the money line. Like we said, nobody's probably playing better ball, maybe with the exception of Kansas City, but I still think Buffalo goes into Kansas City with a little chip on their shoulder, a little something to prove after what happened last season, and they've already beat that team once this year.
Right,
Josh Allen plays his game, and that defense plays lights out. I wouldn't put it past the Buffalo Bills and John Picone to win that game.
I look at this game and with Mahomes the same way I look at Brady and the Bucs, and that is, they played Buffalo. They lost to Buffalo, so they know what to expect now. And most of the times I say, doesn't matter if you play a team once, twice, or three times. If you're the better team, you're going to win. But Kansas City maybe wasn't playing their best at the time, and they're playing better now. But here's the one thing that concerns me about the Chiefs. I don't believe in their defense enough to say that they're, this is the one game that I feel most confident about, pick Kansas City at home, because I'm not sure their defense is good enough. They're going to have to win games by outscoring teams this year.
Well, then you haven't watched a lot of Kansas City Chief football, because over the last eight games, they're like 7-1, and they have played lights out defense with the exception of the Bengals game. And for whatever reason, we see that this year in the NFL. And we've seen a lot of upsets. The one thing is this over the weekend. Let's both agree on this. No blowouts like in the Super Wild Card weekend. If these are four good games, I'll be happy.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. I don't want, you know, just, well, maybe it'll be good. I'll get some, to-do list things done if there is a blowout on Saturday or Sunday.
That's a good
point. The one I'm most excited about watching, though, is I want to see the Bengals at Tennessee, Joe Burrow, and the Titans. My head and my gut are telling me the same thing. It's his second playoff game. Cincinnati's defense is better, but it's still not great. And if Henry's back, they can shrink the game and keep Burrow off the field. And while he throws a lot of touchdown passes and makes big plays with that passing attack, as we saw in the Browns game, he can have a clunker, man. And he throws it up for grabs sometimes with so much confidence in T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, and Chase that he thinks they're going to come down with it. And that could lead to some turnovers. And in a game, that could be the difference.
Here's a reason why you like the home team in this game. And I'll tell you simply why. Titans finished the regular season at 12-5 without their best player. And I thought they were done when he went down. And that defense, for whatever reason, still holds the test of time during this season of ups and downs. They were still only able to lose five games. I thought they were done. I thought they were overrated. I look at this team and I said, there's no way they're going to beat a hot Joe Burrow in this high-flying offense. If there's a chink in the armor with the Bengals, it's their defense. And if Tennessee plays even better with their best player, which they should, I would give the nod to the Titans in this game.
Yeah, I'm leaning Titans way straight up. And what's the spread on this? Is it 3 or 3.5? What's the latest line? It's been fluctuating.
It's all over the place. I'm seeing the Bengals getting 3.5.
Now, the half means a lot in these playoff games, right? A field goal wins the game for you, but you lose if you're playing against the spread. So that half point is ginormous, I think, in this game. If you're not sure who's going to win, I would take the 3.5 with the Bengals, okay?
Well, what you do is you go back and you see what the spreads were last week and see if it comes into play. Because if it's like last week and there are blowouts, then a spread doesn't mean anything, obviously. And I know that's easy to say. But it's also easier to say this. Maybe a team is playing out of their mind like the Bengals. Maybe they don't deserve to be there. Or maybe the Raiders didn't deserve to be there last week. And they almost came back and tied that game at the end of the game. So if you take that into account, then maybe this isn't a bad point spread, and there is value in a Tennessee Titans wager.
All right, here's something to keep in mind as well. The last three Tennessee Titans, last four Tennessee Titans games, all right? They lost to the offensively challenged Pittsburgh Steelers, okay? They then squeaked by San Francisco at home by only three. They blew out Miami 34-3, but then they played on the road when they had to win and they had to come from behind to beat a lousy Houston team. So it's not like the Bills where they're playing their best football right now, Tennessee. So Tannehill just scares me.
He does.
Right?
Good point.
That's the one thing. When I look at this, and I think yesterday on the show we were talking about how the Browns only threw for 300 yards in one game this year. Tennessee only threw for 300 yards in two games this year. But
well, they're smart, though. They have a great running game.
There you go.
And they stick to it. I don't think you squeak by a team that's playing in a divisional game in a win at home against the 49ers. I think that's a quality win. A win against the Steelers, that's another story.
Yeah, and Houston on the road, 28-25?
Divisional game.
You know, we'll see. So those are your four NFL divisional playoff games. This weekend, you want to weigh in on who you like, who you don't like? We'd love to hear from you. 330-450-1480. We're going to talk some Cavs basketball at the bottom of the hour with John Michael. Hey, how about this? Terry Pluto has a new book out called Vintage Browns. He's going to join us at 4 o'clock, and we'll update you on some high school basketball and college basketball games. that are not going to be played due to COVID issues. Stay tuned.
This is the voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers, John Michael, and you're listening to Stark County's basketball experts. Wait, that's not true. All right, whatever. It's Kenny and JT on News Talk 1480 WHBC.